Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Douglas Black, the host of the podcast Angola West Africa. Good to have you here. We got a great show coming up for you. A wonderful conversation with a really good guy, Mr. Pinto Leci, the general manager of ITA, Internet Technologies of Angola. But first, let's have a word from our wonderful sponsor. That would be High Performance Services. HPS Angola is based in Luanda and has been providing quality professional services, fiber, VSAT, both onshore and offshore since 2005. HPS is fully licensed by INACOM, registered for importation, registered with the Ministry of Petroleum, and is current with their tax payments at AGT, which all means less risk for you, and that HPS is ready to support your requirements without hurting your reputation in Angola. HPS is fully insured to the levels required by our international clients and can provide certificates if desired. Angola is still a bit unregulated in many areas and a little wild, so do the proper background checks and pick HPS to be safe and sure. Based in Luanda, HPS speaks your language in Angola. Go to HPS's website today at www.hps-angola.com for more information about their services and how to contact them. In 2020, HPS had record revenues during the pandemic, and this was only possible because of the service provided and the confidence of HPS's customers. You invested much to make it this far in Angola. Don't risk it with an unknown. Trust HPS to get the job done right. Contact HPS today to understand how they can help your business in Angola. Really great group of guys. If you get a chance, contact them to find out what they can do for you in Angola. They've been doing it for a long time. And they know the business in Angola and how to get things done. So please see them and please talk to them. All right, now on to our show. As I said, we had a great conversation with a really terrific gentleman, Mr. Pinto Leci of Internet Technologies of Angola, or commonly called ITA. A great group of people. I've worked with them. My company has worked with them. They just really do a very good job. Once you hear his conversation, we covered a lot of ground and a lot of interesting aspects. I'm sure you'll find it informative, and get a chance to check ITA out when you have requirements in Angola. All right, well, on to the show. Have a good listen, and hope to see you back next week. Take care. Hello, everyone. I'm your host for the podcast today. We're talking to Mr. Pinto Leci, the general manager of ITA. Mr. Pinto, I really appreciate you being here. I know our audience is going to have a lot of interest in what you have to say today. So thank you very much for coming to speak with us today.
No, I thank you for inviting me. I really hope that I can be clear on my intervention due to my English, but really I thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome. And I can tell you your English is much better than my Portuguese, so please don't worry about it. To get started, Mr. Pinto, why don't you give us a little bit of your background, your history, what you may have done before ITA and how you came to ITA? I'm sure the people would be very interested in that.
Yes, I am Angolan, so I live for my entire time in this amazing country, so which really I love the country. I am 57 years old. So I born just before the independence of the country, 10 years. I was 10 years. I remember at the 11th of November, 1975, I was at the Independence Square, we call it, in the Largo da Independencia. So it's some of the things that really I'm very proud of. So my entire life was being related with telecoms. Telecommunication. I have studied telecommunication in Angola at the university, but my very first experience was in army. I joined army, the Angolan government army, when I was about 20 years old, so on telecommunication. Then I did the university in Angola. I did quite a lot of interesting training, military telecommunication training. And in 1992, I leave army and I jump to the private telecoms and IT companies. Some still in the market, like Systec, which is one of the companies where I work for quite a long time and start their satellite business. Then after that, I jump to a small operator that have just start when the market opened for new landline operators. It was about 1999, 2000. That operator was called Nexus. And after that, Nexus was took by Sonningol, by MES Telecom, and I jumped to MES Telecom. I stayed there for 8 years. And always looking for new challenges, new opportunities, new ways to give my experience to the country. So I jumped to ITA, Twitter, which I start in, actually today I am completing 8 years with ITA. I start as an infrastructure manager for 5 years, and now I am from 3 years as a managing director for ITA.
Wow, that's really an interesting background, Mr. Leachy. I'm sure then with your time at MS Telecom, you knew Ms. Jaime Kugel. She has been a guest on our show as well.
Yes, it was interesting time with MS Telecom because it was during the time where they've put a lot of investment on new infrastructure. So I was there involved with the transmission department doing and managing fiber projects, microwave projects, and satellite projects. I remember those times where the mobile operator Unitel was just starting, and now almost 10% of national backbone was through satellite and through that infrastructure. It was a very interesting time because it was just about just after the end of the war, no infrastructure, no roads, traveling around the country. So facing a different is like discovering the new Angola on that time. It was probably very interesting times with MES Telecom.
Yeah, it would be very interesting. Been a lot of changes since then, a lot of changes for the better. Well, now that you've been with ITA for a while, why don't you tell us a bit about the history of ITA? How did it start? What were its beginnings, and how did it get to where it is today?
All right, ITA has got a very interesting story. So that this company has been founded by some young people, really very young people. That's Rolf Mendelssohn, Martin Boos, and Miles October. Those are the founders of ITA 15 years ago. The one, Rolf is from Namibia, Martin from German, and Miles from South Africa. Those guys, very proactive, young, very young people that they found the company and start supplying services in Angola as a small ISP. So I think, it's like a kind of case study in our history of telecoms in Angola. They start like back with a small, very small offices with where everybody lives and works on that a long time. And due to the quality of service, due to the passion, to the way they make the infrastructure and the business, it grew very, 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 very fast. In about 5 years, they were starting supplying services for big companies like BP on oil and gas, on financial sectors like some banks. And I wonder those young boys because they've got a vision to reinvest all the revenue that they got from the business. So when to start putting the revenue in the business, and it allows a big growth on infrastructure. So when I joined Heater, it was about 2013, 8 years now. So it was a company with 50 employees, with some sites in Luanda, and just started about deploying some WiMAX sites. I have to refer in Luanda and starting deploying in Benguela and Lubango. But the guys, they really they believe in Angola, and they push a very people that they love what they do, and they involve all the organization and on this passion. It's really a passion Heater. So and I was on the same kind of motivation. So then we deployed quite on. From there up to now, quite a lot of infrastructure. Now it has got presences on 15. When I mean presences, it's local presences. That's terrestrial transmission in 15 of the 18 provinces in Angola. So most of them covered by our own microwave or fiber transmission. So in Luanda, we have got, I'd say, a very wide and large infrastructure on most of it based on fiber way on micro on optical fiber. Sorry, where we have, for instance, big rings of 200 gigabits, allowing us to provide quite a very significant amount of bandwidth now in Angola. So as I referred previously, the investment is something that is on the blood of the company, of the MAC address of the company. Based on this, we keeping investing, so that's why we develop our headquarters in Luanda at the Patriot place, where we have our Visa tabs, we have our offices, and on 2019 we inaugurate a big data center for more than 180 racks. So it's more likely, it's for sure the biggest and the more advanced data center in Angola, but more likely one of the biggest of southern part of Africa, except, of course, South Africa. That's part of it, the story.
Well, that's very, very interesting, Mr. Leitch. When ITA started out, and ITA stands for Internet Technologies of Angola, if I remember correctly.
That's true.
When it started out with the founders, was the main product internet access? Was that the main product that it started with?
Yes, it was. As the name refers, it's Internet Technologies Angola. So it started like Internet service provider. It was basically internet. Then afterwards, they apply for a multi-services license, and now it's an operator in Angola. So we are allowed to do everything related with telecoms except the mobile services, which requires a different kind of licenses. So we provide connectivity, internet still, connectivity is VPN, so by fiber, microwave, or satellite. We provide now telephony as well, and data center, I mean colocation on the data center, and as well cloud services, where we have in place a cloud services platform for our customers. A part of it, we are supplying also a wholesale services for other operators. I will not, for obvious reasons, refer to which operators are using our networking as wholesale customers, but we do for some of the biggest operators in Angola for carrying their traffics for the provinces here.
Okay, now you mentioned that in the beginning there was maybe 50 people working with ETA. What's the staff size today? How many employees does ETA have today?
186.
186.
186. That's amazing, because that's the way. So in the apart. Most of the people just come to me and say, okay, Pinto, can you explain what is the miracle of ETA? I say, all right, the miracle is that we believe that during the crisis period, that's the period where if you have the right strategy, the right vision, it is the right time to invest based on the vision and strategy that we have. And we, you know, in 2013, it was when the first signs of the crisis in Angola arise. So most of the companies just stop investing. I'm talking mainly the telecoms in Angola. They just stop at all. So, but ETA, they said, no, we're going to go ahead with our plan. Then we start building our main complex here where we have the headquarters in Luanda. So the construction started exactly in 2014. So we invest on national backbones on microwave. So where we have definitely backbones from the northeast part of Angola, of the provinces of Cabinda, Masabi, all the way down to Namib. We invest in national backbone to the OPGW fiber on the power lines. So we invest that big data center along this, let's say, 8 years. Where this is exactly the period where Angola is facing quite a lot of economic challenges. This was the vision of the company board. It was the vision of the founders, if not because of shareholders of the company. And at the end of the day, we realized that it was a very assertive kind of vision. This is not a miracle. This is something that we took the way and we went on this way. Of course, we have some golden rules on it. One of the golden rules of our company, it's the quality. We are very committed with our services quality. Another golden rule that we use here with ETA is the KISS principle. KISS it simple and stupid. Okay, this is the kind of controversy between a company that is growing up a lot and needs to put process, to put all of these rules in place. That like when I mean process and the procedures, I mean like ETO, like ITO, like project management processes, and all of HR processes, financial process. We are putting it, we because we want to, as we have a maximum here that we want to jump to the next level. But a part of this, we want to keep our culture, which is the KISS culture. Keep it simple and stupid, and let's make it. That's what we really focus on. And we the people that we are hiring for the company, you know, are people that we look the people and see that young people that they have like a hot blood, if you allow me this expression, that really want, they are hungry to make things. This is the way we do things, and this is part of the miracle of ITA in our sector in Angola.
Well, I compliment you and your company. I've interacted with Ida very often and continue to do so today, and I find the culture at Ita very refreshing, very different from other Angolan companies, very customer focused, want to get the job done. So I applaud you for what you're doing there. Now, I'll also say to the people, to our audience, that I've been to your facility in Patriota. It's a beautiful place, beautiful campus, beautiful satellite earth station field there and your data center. So I recommend that if any of our foreign visitors are in Angola, that they contact you or your company to see if they can't do a visit. So it's very beautiful there. Now, another question about your network, Mr. Pinto. Is it national? Do you go to all the provinces in Angola at this time?
Yes, definitely. We go by satellite. We cover all the country, of course. But with the terrestrial infrastructure, we go for 15 of the 18 provinces. The missed ones are those on at the least of the at the east of the country, mainly Lunda North, Lunda Sul, and Mushiko. But we have projects. We have got a project, a fiber project along the railway line from Caminho de Ferro de Benguela. So where we built already 550 kilometers from Benguela all the way, actually 600 kilometers all the way from Lubito, Uambo to Quito, which is in BA provinces, where we have a 100 gigabit link, and we are now busy going east of the country to Luena, to Mushiko provinces. So we aim to be there to establish the link, the infrastructure on those three last provinces where we have interesting deployments mainly related with mining.
Okay. Well, it sounds like if any of our foreign listeners are listening in, that if they have plans to come to Angola or have needs of network expansion in Angola, you certainly can be in a good position to meet their requirements, both terrestrially or via satellite. So that's very good. Now, going back a little bit to your data center, can you talk a little bit about redundancy? How many links do you have going in and out of the data center? Is it fault tolerant in terms of network?
No, sure. We apply all the roles that the data center industry requires. So mainly in terms of redundancy, not only on the links, because we did very carefully the way we feed our data center with the communications. So we have definitely redundancy links going in and out from the east side and from the west side of the data center, as well the power lines. So from one side and from the opposite side. So everything is very has been designed to have a full redundancy, as most of the people might know. So data centers are mainly two things. The very first, or I'd say three. But the very first one, it's power, where we need a very reliable power, and we have got, unfortunately, we don't have two different grids from the public networking. So because in Angola we just have one public network, but for power, but we have got three big generators with alternative working in alternatively 2 feet data center, and we have got, as I refer, the links, it's different, and the second and third most important part of the data center is the cooling, where we have got also redundant systems for the cooling on our data center. If you visit our data center, you will realize that it's very symmetrical. It's very symmetrical. Just exactly to accommodate all the redundancies. It's like a mirror in the middle of the data center, site A and site B. That's how it is works.
Very good. And what about security? How is security at the data center? Do you have cages that are the responsible to the client, or how do you manage security?
No, we have different levels of security, and we are now talking about physical security. We have a very restrictive process to go inside our premises and another process to go inside the data center. We have got all our compound. It's got a permanent corp that is managing the external security, and part of it we have got more than 200. CCTV cameras inside the data center, outside the data center. All the access are very well controlled through badges, to the cards that we give the people that is allowed to go into the data center. Inside the data center, we have got another levels of security. Whoever is allowed to go in, they will go only for the area which is allowed to. So that means, for instance, if it goes to first floor, he will only open the doors for first floor or the second floor. And inside the data center room itself, which is like a big faraway cage, and all the externalities have been made by a concrete for protection of the servers inside the data center. But inside the data center, we have got the cages which allow companies that want to have a kind of private and more secure area. They've got that inside cages. They've got racks. Every rack has got also its own kind of protection, keys and codes to open the rack. So we have different levels of security on our because we are very keen to maintain security for our hosts.
Okay. Well, it sounds very, you're right there with the international standards in terms of security in the data center. So that sounds very good. Now, in terms of products, is your data center, do you sell bare racks, or do you have racks with servers in them? Do you have an option that the client can use in terms of equipping a rack? How do you sell the space?
No, actually, we as a standard, we have the data center all full with the racks. So basically we have some racks where we can share the space in the rack with the use in the rack. So this is very much for small enterprises, for those that just need some use in the rack. So we are allowed to share. We allow them to share with other customers the same racks. We sell also a full rack. So for those that want to have their own rack, so of course the less you share, the most secure is your stuff in terms of security. So but most of the big companies, they want to have their restrictive parts, so their restrictive areas. Those are the cages where we have different size of cages. We have cages with 8 racks, we have cages with 10 racks, with 12 and with 16 racks. So, and we can fit any case on these cages. So, but this is for co-locations where the customers bring your stuff and install there, and we supply the basic, the three basic things: security, power, and cooling. The second option is that it's a mix that customers want. They don't want to bring their equipment, but they want to have their own equipment, although they don't want to invest on it. So we can invest on it as long as we have the specifications, though the equipment, the servers and all other equipment belongs to us. And of course we provide the services, but making sure though that those servers, those equipment are not being shared with any other customer. The third option is this is very much related with cloud services, where we have got and we have deployed a big cloud infrastructure where we supply services like virtual machines, like virtual data center, where virtually the customer can build their own data center. To show this on the cloud, this is very important to refer that we have got a backup a data center for our cloud services, where we have our operation in other data center with our operator in Vienna. It's just for backup services of the cloud.
Oh, that's very important. That was another question I had, so that's good to know. One other question. Some of the hosting services that I'm familiar with in other countries, they permit a mixture of carriers in the building. Obviously, ITA can provide the transport transmission services inside your data center. If a client wants a second or a third network connection, is that possible in your data center?
We our data center is what it's called the carrier neutral. Of course, we are hoping we have got already most of all of the biggest almost all of the biggest operators in Angola. They've got presence in our data center. So that's one of the things that we have been open for since the very beginning.
That's very good to know. I mean, that's fantastic. So it sounds like you have an excellent product there, and the people ought to be checking it out if they're interested in hosting or virtual services. Now, once you opened the data center, did you find the demand was there? Is the demand in Angola for hosting and virtual services, is it growing?
No, it's growing. It's mainly the virtual services. The worst thing is it's also in a good path, so it's under our expectations, because you know the world, most of the with all of this economical situation, the market didn't grow during the last 5 or 8 years, let's say. So the companies that have that are working in Angola, so most of them, they've got their systems somewhere. So the plan to move to another place, in this case for our data center, it takes always a while. So it's between 1 and 1.5 years. So things are happening now. We have got quite interesting requests for some of the most important financing companies and banks to come to our data centers. Even this month, we are moving 2 banks. I will not tell what banks are those for. But things are growing. In terms of the cloud services, of the virtualization, this is something that even the market is becoming, it's not yet enough matured on this. They still have some questions about that's questions. This is because of the maturity of the market here in Angola. But we still very happy and very optimistic that the things will speed up very, very soon.
Okay, very good. It sounds like you guys are taking all the right steps, and I agree with you. I think the market will build as the economy improves and business gets back on track in the country. Now, Ida, it's done a lot of terrific things. It's a great company. What do you see are its current challenges? What makes you lose sleep at night? What challenges is the company facing right now?
Okay, the biggest challenge is the economy. Some of the rules that the laws that have been put in place, it's more than help. It's making the telecoms life even more difficult. I'm referring, for instance, the taxes. So the taxes, the annual taxes for most of the companies in Angola have decreased from 30% per year to 28-25%. For our sectors, have increased to 35%. This is it's a big impact on the financial structure of the companies. As well, other big things, it's regarding the depreciation of the kwanza. This is we on telecommunication. It's a very intensive investment sector, and unfortunately, we don't yet build technology in Angola. We have to import, and it's a permanent investment sector. With the depreciation of the kwanzas, at the end of the year, we have an impact on our finances. Like 20% of our costs, those are financial costs related to the depreciation, which is a huge impact on the company. So summarizing the financial stability of the country, especially the availability as well of the external currency to allow us to keep investing and to pay external services, as for example the space segments. So this is a key. This is critical to keep the business.
Yeah, I agree. I know in our business, there's like space segment, you have to pay in dollars outside the country. It's very difficult. And in terms of financial planning, trying to gauge where the kwanza will be in 6-12 months from now, when you're looking at customer contracts, it can be a challenge. So I agree with you on that. Now, looking to the future, where do you see ITA going? What are the strategies that you're pursuing? Where would you like to take the company in the next 5 to 10 years?
Look, ITA now is part in these founders of one of African Telecoms Group, that's Paratus Group. So where we, as Paratus, we have presence in Namibia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Mozambique, and in South Africa. So we just let you know when the business start on those countries. They start also with the same brand, like Internet Technologies Namibia, Internet Technologies Zambia. Then on those countries, we rebrand to Paratus. In Angola, we decide to keep Pesita because in Portuguese sounds nice. ITA, and as well because it was a brand that was just growing, and we strategically we have defined to keep as ITA. But just to let you know that at end of the day, we are part of Paratus Group, where we have already a big infrastructure connecting all these countries. Our dream is to have Angola also connected by fiber to Zambia, to DRC, to Namibia. So and supply services in between African countries. So we think that as Africans we have to join efforts between countries to deploy and to supply services for our people, and to have Africa with a real digital integration.
That makes a lot of sense. I know if I were an international company and looking for network services, if I could go to ITA and they could set up my network in Angola, plus provide connectivity to my locations in Namibia and South Africa, and bill me for that and manage that for me, that would really put you way in front of your competitors. So I hope you can get to that point, and I hope you can get there in the next few years. So I applaud you. That's where I agree. That's where you need to be going. Do you have any idea on the time frame of when the networks, the fiber connectivity or the network connectivity between countries will actually occur?
No, just to let you know that in terms of Paratus, the connectivity from Maputo all the way to Botswana, to Zambia, and to Namibia, it's done. So we as Paratus, we have terrestrial connectivity between the two coasts of Africa, between the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean on the other side. In Angola, as we still building the projects like those that I referred, that by end of this year we're gonna be in Luena. Then we have another 300 kilometers to be at the border with the DRC and with Zambia. So then we're gonna connect to there. We still have projects in our portfolios to go down to Ondiva and to Santa Clara as well, and to go to the north, to the country. So I would say in the next 2 years that we should have, or we may have all of this connectivity to the countries bordering Angola.
I can tell you that will be fantastic when you make that happen, because I've seen the power of being able to do a manage of a complex network, be a point of management for the international companies. Now, if you have a an international company listening in right now, what would you say to them that says ITA is different than your competitors in Angola? What makes ITA different from the other competitors in Angola? Why should the foreign company look at you first to provide service?
Right, so that's the reliability of our networking. That's the very first thing. We try to do our networking with international standards. So we, if one of those international companies want to come to Angola, I just reinforce what you have told already, that come and visit us. And with this double infrastructure, we can take you along with to some of our sites. And we are very proud to make in Angola something with international standards. This is one of the things. The other thing is that we really are a very hungry company. We want to be there. We are very fast. We are very agile company. We follow very strictly the process, but we follow agile processes. We really, our reaction time, it's very, very short compared with our competitors. So, and the third one that I would tell is that which we take is a big value, that we are part of Pareto's group, where for instance, I can give you an example. Last year, when there was a cut north of Congo River of the two cables, SAT-3 and the Duax, going to Europe, we were one of the last, one more likely the unique operator in Angola that we managed to send our traffic to Europe, because we sent south to South Africa and to Namibia. Then it crossed all the way terrestrial through our terrestrial networking to Maputo, and then we jumped it north along the Indian Ocean to Asia and then to Europe. It was a very interesting time, and this is a big value that we got. A part of this, maybe the fourth one, just before I finish, we are connected to all local all cables that are landing in Angola, the submarine cables. We have links to the SAT-3 going from South Africa to Europe, and as well through the Duax, with the same path, and the other one through the SAX to Brazil, and then to Miami, and where we have a point of presence. We have a point of presence in Miami. We have a point of presence at Telkom in UK, in London. We have in Portugal. We have in Swakopmund. We have in Cape Town, in Johannesburg. We have a very big international infrastructure as well that are all part of our MPLS networking. So easily we can provide connectivity for an international company that has got their offices. And we have got a lot of this in, for instance, somewhere in Europe or in US, and the operation here in Angola.
That's all very good. I know most of the foreign companies, they were very concerned about service if WACS or SACS was cut. How are they going to continue? But now you have enough sufficient backup going through SACS to Brazil and going south around to Maputo. It sounds like you've solved the problem, and they should basically never be cut out of the network. Now, if I'm a company that's sitting in Houston or in Scotland, and what I'm hearing makes me interested, how do they get in contact with EDA to understand more about your services and maybe request a proposal for services from EDA? How do they contact, or who do they contact?
No, oh, we have got our website where you can go. If you don't have any other contact, we can go to our website, and today we have our contacts where whoever just sent for one of the general emails or contacts, or phone number, so somebody will pick up and will come back in the next 24 hours for sure.
Good. I'll also put the ETA website address on the show notes when we publish the show as well. Now, one area that I've forgotten to mention, which is also important to many customers, is the Network Operations Center. I'm sure ETA has one, and can you tell where it's located and how it functions?
Sure. I really forgot to refer about it. Our Network Operations Center is based in Luanda on our complex in Patriota. So where we have an operation 24 times 7 days. We monitor, we have and we operate all our infrastructure, since the networking routers, switches, to the infrastructure stuff like power generators, so all the links, all the traffic, we monitor the data centers, the cooling. Anyhow, we have different platforms that gather all the information in just one. And from there we have a overall vision of our networking and as well of the customers' networking. So our NOC it works with two functions. One function it's a network operation center to look after the networking, and the other part it's for the customer supports, where if all the customers that have any issue on the network, they can call and they're gonna receive support from our team. So of course we have different levels of escalations, so in different process that quickly we can have if we don't manage to fix any problem on the network or on the customer side, we very quickly can deliver a team to that. For instance, in Angola, this is very important as well to refer that we have offices in five provinces and strategically located to allow to be closer to our customers. So whenever an issue arises, so and is detected by the knock or the customer call our support, so if we need to send any physical, I would say, support, any team to the field, so the we'll go the closest one.
Okay, so where you have the five offices, you can dispatch technicians from any of the five offices. Is that what I hear?
Yes, we have, for instance, we have offices in Cabinda, we have offices in Benguela, in Lubango, in Uambo, in Melange. So, and as we have customers countrywide, so those are supporting customers in different areas of the country.
Okay, that's very important for most clients. Now, in general, how do you see the state of telecommunications in Angola today? Is the networks and the services, are they on par with what a client can expect to get in the United States or Western Europe? Or is there still some way to go? Or what would you say to someone that's coming to Angola that what they have in the States, they can get in Angola? What's your view?
I think as most of things in Angola, so we still on the way. So to have really, let's say, the kind of services that some of the most deployed countries have. So we still some steps to grow. Unfortunately, the last 10 years, the growth was has been very slow, or even in general, in average, I'd say maybe it's on a very flat line. But a part of this, where you investors can come and really need, we feel that there is a big effort, not from just for Meetup, but in general from the sector, from telecom sector in Angola, to supply service. We can already have some services with international standard, although not spread in all around the country, in all parts of the country, especially if we real see that Angola is a very big country, with and most of the population is located along the coast. So if you go to the east of the country, where it's the biggest area of the country with just few population, we may face some issues in terms of coverage. So that's one of the things that really needs to be done. And in terms of the services quality as well, so we need to improve here and there to be there.
Okay. Well, I think ITA is certainly leading the charge in moving Angola closer to par with the international services seen in the States or in Western Europe. Now, this has been a really interesting conversation. We've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything, Mr. Leitch, that we haven't discussed that you would like to bring up, or do you think we've covered pretty much everything people need to know about ITA?
No, first of all, again, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to talk to this audience, and hoping that really you got my poor English on it. But please, if you are in Angola and you want to come to visit us, just come. We are very open. We are very happy to show for everybody what we have been done during these 15 years of operations, and share with you what are your plans. So if you are not in Angola and you want to come to Angola and you want to understand what kind of services of IT services you would need, please keep free to contact us. We will be very happy to help you.
Okay, very good. And once again, we'll put the ITA website address on our show notes. Now, I like to wrap up the show with the following question. It's more of a interest question. When you want to relax or take a vacation, where do you like to go in Angola? Where would you recommend a person can go to see some beautiful sights or relax in Angola?
I will tell you my passion in Angola. That's Calandura, the waterfalls. I will tell you why. I just born there, and I grew up there until just when I was 10 years. So this is a place that I love, because it's got like kind of very nice record from my very young ages. So, but apart from it, this is really nice. This is really nice. Please, if you come to Angola, put on your trip schedule Calandula Waterfalls. Go there. You will enjoy for sure.
Now, what's the best way to get there? To fly on TAG or to drive? How would you recommend?
To drive. That's 400 kilometers from Luanda. That's a nice drive. So that's about 4 or 5 hours driving. So and around the place, there is other interesting places as well. So that's the Malanje province. But it's really nice. A part of Victoria Falls. This is the second deeper waterfall in the world. This is 150 150 meters of height.
Sounds spectacular. Now, for a person going there, are there hotels, restaurants? Is there an infrastructure there that people can stay?
Yes. There is a nice hotel now facing the waterfall. So with all rooms and big windows, so you can be on your bed and just facing the fall.
Okay. Now, is in the hotels and restaurants, is English spoken, or do you need to rely on Portuguese?
No, most in Angola, those speaking English will not be lost for sure. You will find always somebody that speaks English, especially young people. So we can communicate in English.
Okay. Well, it sounds fantastic. I myself have not been there yet. So based on what you said, when I get back to Angola after this pandemic, I will make a point of going there myself. So thank you very much for the recommendation. Once again, the conversation has been terrific. We've learned a lot. I think our listeners will certainly know more about ETA and hopefully get in contact with ETA to understand how they can help them in their network requirements. So, Mr. Leitch, thanks so much for visiting with us. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we can have you on our show again sometime in the future.
All right, okay. Bye. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow, what a great conversation. We hope you liked it as much as we did. Mr. Pinto Leitch is a great gentleman. He's really on top of ETA's business and is leading them into the future. ETA's got a great opportunity in the marketplace, and they're going places. Check our show notes for the address of ETA's website and other pertinent information. Please, if you will, leave our podcast a review and rating on whatever platform it is that you listen to podcasts, and help us out by telling at least one friend about the program. We believe Angola West Africa is the only podcast based in Angola that brings you news, interviews, and current affairs. Please come back next week to hear more of Angola West Africa. Until then, this is your host, Douglas Black, saying stay safe, wear a mask, and get your vaccination. If you are interested in advertising on our podcast, contact us at info@angolawestafrica.com. That's Angola West Africa altogether.com. Until next time, ciao, Zinho. See you. Bye.